You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bible is the book of Esther today, Esther chapter 4. The book of Esther is a very powerful chapter, powerful book. We're in chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to read with me, please, if you will. Esther chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Esther 4, 12 through 16. You have it there? Ready? Begin. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. The Bible makes it very clear that this little Jew, this little girl who was a Jewish girl, God raised her up to be the queen in a foreign land. The Bible is so very powerful. You can always trust the Bible. God said something in this text because she found out that Haman was going to kill all the Jews. And you know, the Jew has always been hated. Who'd ever think that on 9/11 we were attacked by the Muslims? And yet the Muslims are the ones protesting at Harvard University today. They hate the Jew. They make it very clear. We hate the Jew. Death to Jews. Death to Jews. The universities, Columbia, they're all death to the Jew. How in the world can you say death to Hispanics? How can I say to these are some of the best people in all the world, these Brazilians. How can we ever wish death on them? I'm a German. How could you ever wish death on Germans? And yet these people, Haman said, I want to kill the Jews. Haman got the king to write in writing that if you make this image and if someone doesn't bow down to this image, then we'll kill them. He knew that the Jews would not bow down. And the king signed it. Now the king is married to Esther. Esther had no right to go see the king. She had to have an invitation to come see the king. And so she said, listen, I'm going to see the king. If I perish, I perish. There's a thought in this text I want us to capture today. It's just two words. Look what he says in verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. Her cousin Mordecai is talking to her, saying, you can't hold your peace. Rest, you can't hold your peace. You're guilty. You're committing genocide against the Jews if you hold your peace. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt thou enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Here's the two words, and here it is. Who knoweth? You know, Donald, I couldn't get that out of my heart this week. Who knoweth? I don't know if you take a stand for God, what's going to happen? Who knoweth what's going to happen? Who knoweth that the king may get all violent? He did already with Vashti. And he expelled her and he got rid of her. And he got Esther in her place. Who knoweth? You go try to see the king. Who knoweth what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. It's amazing because I've been singing the songs we sang this morning. There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen if I stand up for Jesus. We sang the song today. I don't know about tomorrow, but I do know who holds the future. I don't know what the doctor's going to tell my wife and I this week, but I know that I know God's got it. Amen. Who knoweth? Amen. Who knoweth what's going to happen this week in your life? But I know God has it. Amen. Who knoweth? Who knows what car accident's ahead? But God knows, and He knows exactly what's going to happen in your life. Yes. Who knows about the sorrow that you're going to be called upon to bear? He knoweth it. God knows everything. Many things about tomorrow, amen, I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the tomorrow, and I know who holds my. I know that God holds it. I know that God, last Sunday night, is sovereign. God is in charge of everything. Look at the scripture today. I want you to see with us today, Mordecai, he responded to her, and who knoweth, when you don't know, still sacrifice to God. Look what the Bible says. In verse number 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Wait a minute. Fast for me. Fasting is doing without food to pray. I don't know what's going to happen to me, Mordecai. I don't know what's going to happen to you, Esther, but I'm going to do some fasting this week. Look what he goes on to say. Neither eat nor drink 3 days. Night or day, and I also, my maidens will fast likewise. I'm going to fast. I don't believe it's possible to raise good children today without fasting. I'm a big proponent of fasting. I think there's many different fasts. You could fast one meal a week. Could you not fast one meal a week for your son? Could you not fast one meal a week for your daughter? Maybe you have a son that's grown, he's lost. Maybe you have a daughter that's grown, who's lost. Maybe you have a son that's grown, that's a backslider, or a daughter that's a backslider. Or maybe you have a little one-year-old and you say, well, I don't have any problems. Well, you're gonna have problems. Could you not fast one meal a week? Could you not miss one lunch a week? And instead of eating, go alone, get alone with God and pray for that child? Amen. I think about, there's that's fasting, one meal. I think there's a Jewish fast from sunrise to sunset. Could you not fast for our America? America, we have a window of a space of grace right now. But it's just a space. And who knows what we're going to get next time? Who knows the sin and the corruption that's going to enter into America? And then it's going to get rough. Because righteousness exalteth the nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. Could you not pray and fast a Jewish fast once a week, sunrise to sunset? Maybe it's a 24-hour fast. Maybe in this case, it's a 3-day fast. These people, Brother Eliud, are going to die. I think that's urgent. I think it's urgent to pray. I don't boast about fasting. I've never fasted like some people in our church have fasted 40 days. I've never done that. I'm ashamed of myself. I cannot do that. I fasted one time for 8 days. And at the end of 8 days, I didn't expect God to answer the prayer. I expected God to change my heart. I expected God to give me grace. And you know, when you fast, you go through some moments where, when you fast long periods, and when you go through some moments that God seems so real. Brother Manuel, like I can almost touch him. I feel like his presence is there. And there comes some times when you're fasting where you don't even think he's listening to you. You think, God, where are you? You're not talking to me. You're not dealing with me. But fasting is a Bible command. The disciples, they tried to raise this man and they could not do it. And Mark chapter 9 verse 29 says, this kind, this miraculous kind, cometh forth by prayer and fasting. Do you fast? That is a sacrifice. You're making a physical sacrifice. Hey kids, are you fasting for your life? Do you know what God has for your life? You kids that just graduated from a high school, walked across, do you understand that you should fast one meal a week, one meal? That God would give you wisdom your freshman year in college? That God would give you direction for your life? There are people in this room that have had unbelievable, sorrowful information from doctors this week. Can you not fast for that situation? Some of you have lost your job this week. Can you not fast that God would give you the right direction? Presley, I think of what you have gone through in the last week of a death of a nephew, a death of a nephew's child, and a death of a brother, you dear folks. It's just been awful. Awful. You're in Hawaii on vacation. You have to come home. It's awful. But God wants me to fast with her. God wants me to pray for her that she and her husband will have wisdom with their lives and bring comfort to their loved ones that are without Christ. I see a sacrifice, who knoweth? I see a stand, verse 13. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house. He said, Esther, you're gonna have to take a stand. Who knoweth? Who knoweth what's going to happen to you, Esther? But you're going to have to stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Praise the Lord.
You have to take a stand. You have to take a stand for righteousness. Some of your family are not going to like you. It's amazing, like that maniac at Gadara, Mark chapter 5. They worked with them. They chained them to the tombs. They loved that man until he got saved. Then they said, get out of our town. He was sitting clothed in his right mind. We don't want you. And a lot of times, parents will pray for the salvation of a son or a daughter, and they get saved, and then they get on fire for God. And parents say, we don't want you around our house. We don't want you talking about the Lord. They want you to have fire insurance, but that's where it stops. Child of God, they have to take a stand. Stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
You precious bus kids. You're going to have to take a stand for God. Amen. I love God. I love his word. I don't understand it all. Had a mother here Sunday, last Wednesday night, and she has her teenage, and she may be here this morning, probably is. And she had our teenage boys here, said, I want them to come to youth conference. She told me right out this door, she said, Pastor, I rode the buses to this church when I was a little girl, and I'm coming back. You know, that happens every week of my life. Every week of my life, I'll pass tracks to people. I used to ride the bus. I need to get back to church. They come to church and say, I'm now married. I have 5 kids. I have 6 kids. I have 4 kids. I have 3 kids, and I'm divorced, but I need my kids in this church. It happens. It happens every week. Take a stand for God.
Amen.
Who knoweth? Who knoweth what your stand's going to be? Who knoweth what your stand's going to be like and how you're going to stand? But sacrifice and fast and sacrifice and stand. But then notice separation. Chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. He separated himself. He made himself a public display of righteousness in the midst of the city, in the center of that city. Everybody saw him. Young people, adults, at work tomorrow, and I know when you work, you need to work. You don't need to be witnessing, but you have a break. You have lunch hour. You have different times where you can stand for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stand for Christ. I don't know if you can pray with someone, but if you have a break hour, that break hour is your hour. That's not company's hour. The company provides you a job and you work your 8 hours. Don't witness on work company time, but on your break and after you work, give the gospel. Amen. Let it be known that I am a Christian. I'm amazed that all the doctors and all the nurses that we have dealt with, we've dealt with at least 30, 35, 40 doctors and nurses at Stanford. My wife was there 2 weeks. We met them all, and I know we didn't meet them all. But every single one, my wife had the staples removed this week. That lady said, Chad Ith is awesome. Amen. A doctor said, oh, Chad's awesome. Every doctor, every nurse knows Chad Ith. They know Brother Alan Chung. Yep. They say, you're the pastor of the church he goes to. See, he's told them, I go to church. I go to North Valley Baptist Church. Thank God for his testimony. And by the way, I see in this text, who knoweth? Look at the chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, the surprise that's going to come. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne, and the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? And it shall be given to thee even half of this kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good to the king, let Haman come this day to the banquet I have prepared for him. Stop right there. Haman was the guy that made the gallows for her cousin Mordecai. He's the enemy. And she said, I want to have a banquet for him. Ha ha, God's working. And the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do to Esther as he said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet, Esther prepared. And the king said unto Esther, the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? It shall be granted even in half the kingdom. And Esther said, the petition of my request, if I found favor in thy sight, king, if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet, I shall prepare for them. And Haman went forth, was joyful, and had a glad heart. When Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he stood not up, nor moved for him, but he was full of indignation against Mordecai. He hated the Jews. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and he came home, and he sent and called his wife Suresh, and Haman told the glory of the riches and the multitude of the children. And Haman, moreover, verse 12, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come into the king. She prepared for me a banquet. And verse, yet all this availeth nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the gate. And his wife made some gallows. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. On that night, the king could not sleep. And he said, bring me the records. If you can't sleep at midnight, who reads genealogies? Nobody reads genealogy. I don't sleep almost every night. I don't read the genealogies. I read it like, okay, there's a genealogy and there's a genealogy. I'm not very good at reading genealogies. But he read that it was Mordecai that saved his life previously. He was never rewarded for it. You know the story. And what a surprise when we get to this banquet. Haman came in, chapter 6, verse number 5. And behold, Haman standeth at the court, and the king said, let him come in. And and Haman came in, and the king said to him, what shall be done to the man who the king delighted to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom the king would delight. He thought, who's going to be more honored than me? And Haman answered the king, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse which the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And it delighted the king. The king is going along with this. He thought he's going to honor Haman, who's going to kill the Jews. He thought this was going to be a good thing. But the Bible says that God turned it all around. And God had Esther say, he's the one trying to kill you and kill us. So the king, chapter 7, Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. What is thy petition? In verse number 3, if I have found favor, O sight, and king, that please the king, let my life be given a petition for my people request. We are sold and my people destroyed to be slain and perished. But if we have been sold for a bondman, I'd held my tongue, although the enemy could not counteract. And the Bible says, verse 6, and Esther said, thy adversary and thy enemy is this wicked Haman. He who thought he's going to wear the apparel, and he thought that he was going to ride in the chariot. Now he's pleading for his life. And the Bible says, to summarize it, he hung on those same gallows that day. Who knoweth? Who knoweth that that was going to happen? Who knew? The king did not know that was going to happen. Who knoweth? Who knoweth that Haman's going to hang on the gallows this day that he built from Mordecai? Who knoweth that God was going to raise up Mordecai the Jew? Who knoweth that God was going to raise up Queen Esther, she who had no permission to even go to that inner court and stand there, and he moved his, who knoweth that he was going to move his scepter and she was going to touch that scepter? Who knew that? God did.
Amen.
There's my message. God knew it. Amen. Stuart Hamlin was a neighbor to John Wayne. Stuart Hamlin was very famous in Hollywood. And Stuart got saved in the 40s. And he became a great witness to John Wayne. I don't know if John Wayne ever got saved, but he witnessed it to his neighbor all the time. He wrote many songs that are in our songbook, and we sing them. Stuart Hamlin wrote this song, I want to say in the late 40s, early 50s. It's a song known only to him are the great hidden secrets. I fear not the darkness when my flame shall dim. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret, here it is, known only to him. God knows the day of your birth. God knows the day of your death. God knows how you're going to die. In this world of fear and doubt, on my knees, I ask the question, why a lonely, heavy cross I must bear? Then he tells me in my prayer, it's because I am trustworthy. I hope I'm trustworthy to carry every burden that God places on my life. He gives me strength, far more than my share, known only to him. God knows everything. Yes. Amen. A young lady was born in October the 15th, 1949. She was a beautiful young lady. And she became 17 years of age, and she was a great swimmer, great athlete. Her dad was a wrestler for the Olympics in 1932. She's named after her dad. Her dad's name's Johnny, and her name is Johnny. It's spelled J-O-N-I, Joni, but it's Johnny. And at age 17, 1967, she jumped into Chesapeake Bay. When she jumped in and dove in, she dove into a shallow end. She didn't realize it, and she paralyzed herself from the neck down. Beautiful girl, talented girl, just graduating from high school. From the shoulders on down, no use of her arms, no use of her legs. All of it was ruined. Spent 2 years in the hospital, and she said, I got very bitter at God. I'm a Christian, but I'm very bitter at God. All I can do is move my head. I cannot care for myself. I cannot feed myself. I cannot do anything. She became very depressed. She became suicidal and would think, how can I commit suicide? I can't even reach for bottles. No one's going to give me the bottles. I cannot reach for a gun and shoot myself. I can't even commit suicide. I want to die. In the midst of that, God spoke to her heart. She repented of her evil ways. Joni became a world-famous artist. She'd put the brush in her mouth. Perhaps you've seen her paintings. And she'd put the brush in her mouth and she could paint. Joni became a great spokesman for the name of Christ, Johnny. She's on a thousand radio stations a day. She suffered through two different forms of cancer as she lived through both of them. She's written 48 books, Christian books that you can make it. She worked for the president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, and other presidents since. She's just an amazing. I know she's a non-denominationalist, and I'm not speaking about her denomination and all that affiliation. I'm just talking about, here's a lady that thought her life was over, but God knew better.
Amen.
She's 77 now, still alive, having an impact on the lives of people from the neck up. Her mind is sharp. Her brain is sharp. Her eyesight is sharp. Her ears are sharp. She just has no ability to care for herself. She's a nationwide public speaker. But God knew all that. When he let her dive in that pool of water at Chesapeake Bay, 1967, I don't know what God has for you. I do know that we generally suffer our way out of life. I do know that. I have for 50 years pastoring this church, stood at the bedside of so many people awaiting their last breath. And as I stood at the bedside of so many, it's always hard. I think of so many times the family was around the body of this loved one, and they'll look at me. Many times they'll look and say, is she gone? Is he gone? I said, no, he's still alive. It's been like 45 seconds between breaths. I said, he's still with us. And oftentimes they'll arouse just for one last time, look, and smile, and then they're gone. I don't know how you're going to leave. I don't know what you're going to have to carry, what burden, but God knoweth. He knows. Because nothing ever touches me, but it's been filtered through a hand of a loving God. And my job is to give glory to God. Peter, that's my job. Here's a man just gone through cancer. A trainer for athletes and for triathlons and for the Olympics, and a great trainer and a great healthy man. And yet he had to suffer through cancer and suffer. I don't know why God allowed that, but God did. And he's done it for his purpose, that his name might be glorified. Who knoweth? Mordecai says, who knoweth? Esther, who knoweth? You may have to die. Who knows what's going to happen? But let's take a stand. Let's be separated. Let's be a sacrificial people.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.